Hello and welcome back to Millennial 2019. This is the last of this block. There will be some more after Christmas, but for now this is it. And Merry Christmas to those of you who are watching from a place where it is already Christmas Day. And that's a young content creator there. This is Henrik and Lana's son. So I should say that I'm here with Red Ice. So welcome, Henrik and Lana, and welcome back to Millennial.
Hello.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Always.
Yeah.
Year, right? Oh. Is this the fourth year or
this
third year?
This is the third or fourth. I have to go back through the
archives. It's definitely, you were both on separately in 2015, I think. And then Henrik was definitely on in 2016, because I remember talking to you beforehand, because I was about to be doxxed at that point, and I was very nervous, and we talked about that before we went on air. I always remembered that. 2017, I think you were both on together. 2018, you were both on together with Rorik, and I think this is the third time you've both been on together as Red Ice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
So
nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So, excellent. Well, so you've had quite a turbulent year, and so we'll...
go play. Right. Sorry, go ahead.
That's fine. So
we're good.
All right. So you, Red Ice, has obviously had a very turbulent year. You were banned from YouTube. Obviously, we don't want to focus too much on negatives, but what would you say about that and the experience and the aftermath?
Well, I mean, it is what it is, right? We kind of expected it. It happened. Maybe a little sooner than, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe
I thought it was
going
to come a little later.
For some reason, I don't know why. It just came kind of out of the blue. No strikes lined up or anything like that. So that was kind of weird, but we knew that it was coming. We know where this the platform is going and stuff. And yeah, after that, I've just been monitoring how every other field that YouTube is slashing into us. So I've been watching some bushcraft stuff and people who do, you know, they do outdoor things. And just the other day, I posted something on Twitter from the Red Ice account about that big YouTuber creator, 1.3 million subscribers. He goes out and does wilderness bushcraft
Joe
stuff,
Robinette.
Joe Robinette. Yeah. And he was like, all of a sudden they're starting to limiting and restricting his videos because it shows knives or an axe or in fire and stuff. So it's all dangerous apparently for someone, right? What was it the BitChute account posted about earlier? It was the true crime categories. They are getting banned.
Before we continue, can you raise your volume? Because people are saying that they can't hear you very easily.
Oh, shit. Okay, we have to go a little closer here. Let's see. Is there anything you can do on your end?
There isn't. It doesn't have that ability. That was something that Google Hangouts did have that this doesn't have.
Oh. I think it is what it is on the iPad. I'll try to project a little bit more. Hopefully it's okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. Okay.
Is it okay? I don't even see the
Yes, chat. It sounds better now.
Okay, we'll try. I have to put it up against the face. Okay. So we're talking.
Up the nose.
Up the nose, Sean, you know, so yeah. Anyway, where were we? Yeah, YouTube is slashing in on bushcraft videos. It's all kinds of weird things that they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, true crime channels, that's now harassment. I saw something the other day about how if you're doing satire or comedy about certain things, they might limit your videos or restrict you or even ban you or give you community guideline strikes. Basically, in case they don't like it. If you criticize someone that they have see as a protected individual, they will slash your stuff. So I mean, it's over. I mean, the platform is dead. We're just seeing the slow tumble right now. It might take 2 years. It might take 5 years. It might even take 10 years. I don't know.
Well, as far as alternative cutting edge material or anything that's a political dissident or anything that's fresh, well, in the political scene, that stuff is just going to be completely wiped out.
That's gone already.
Yeah, I mean, that's already
been
taken
out. I agree.
We have shoes and makeup and just, you know, really kind of globalist program.
Yeah, unboxing videos.
End of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is, you can already feel that it just doesn't have the same atmosphere that it used to have, but 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, it's you know, I think you talked. Was it you talked about? I listened to one of the earlier ones you did Anyway, you guys were talking about that. You were mentioning that, well, it's just like how you feel like you have a knife on your throat all the time. You have to watch yourself, and you can't use certain words and stuff. I mean, BitChute is obviously the biggest contender, biggest competitor now. And again, if they do live stream, that's a huge move. And I mean, a lot of people are going to move over. And then all the interesting political discourse will take place on
BitChute. And like we were saying, it's almost easier just to rip the Band-Aid off. And like, the worst has been done. Like, we're off of PayPal. We're off of YouTube. We're off of Facebook. Like, well, what else is there? Twitter is the only thing that's left, really.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now we just have to look forward and look at these alternative platforms. And luckily, we have good audience, good supporters, and people that are following us wherever we are. And only more people will be forced to go watch on alternative platforms as their favorite creators get slashed and burned on YouTube. You
know? Yeah,
absolutely. The more that happens, the more it will become our natural home as our community.
Yeah,
sure. And in the short term, yeah, they may have gotten us, you know, just like how they watch. I mean, views are not, they're not hundreds of thousands like they were before, but this is just a bump in the road, you know. We're thinking long term here. It's not like, oh my gosh, it's the end, they won, we're quitting. And that's what they want to happen.
Yeah,
that's their goal, to try and shut everyone down, discourage them, get them to give up, right?
I've been very disappointed to see some voices that seem to think that we are, all of us are in the hands of a hostile corporation, one of the biggest companies in the world, Google, and whatever they do or dictate, we're at their mercy. Obviously, we can't have that attitude. That's like horrendous. You know? So we're the ones who have to dictate and do this, even if we have to go to our own websites again and do it. We're not in the hands of these corporations. And luckily, they are doing, you could go. Luckily, they are doing the job for us. They're essentially just like, I mean, they're allowing us to move to a new platform where we can speak more freely. So, you know, I think it's good at the end of the day. I think it's better to do it now rather than 3, 4, 5 years from now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you enjoying the newfound freedom of being away from YouTube, that you don't have to watch, you know, censor certain topics anymore and so on?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, and it depends on where you do the content. I mean, at the same time, we've never... how do I explain it? We haven't felt this need. There's certain things you obviously couldn't talk about on YouTube, but in terms of like how you say something, that I don't feel the restrictions on, because we're, you know, we don't want to use any of the words that we already do and stuff. We try to be cordial. We want to be normie friendly to a certain extent. We want to reach a large audience. We want to bring new people in. And I think, I mean, sure, you can be funny, you can be edgy and stuff to, you know, attract people. There's different methods you can use. But as far as we're concerned, we're kind of the approach that we have, that's what it is with or without YouTube anyway. But in terms of the topics, you can certainly deep dive into certain things now in a way that you couldn't do before. And we have a kind of, I mean, again, this is only October 17th, so we haven't like rearranged like massively yet. But I know that there's a number of videos that I want to do now, which I knew I couldn't release on YouTube earlier. So more of that is coming, like really, you know, some of the stuff that YouTube would just simply ban you outright immediately for. But that doesn't mean that it's crass or unreasonable or out of the blue. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, a lot of the topics that I talked about a lot in 2015, 16 and 17, especially 2016, when we were still digesting the migrant crisis, a lot of those topics I simply wouldn't approach nowadays. I mean, certainly not in my own videos. So, yeah, it is very stifling and suffocating.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the sooner we get onto BitChute, the better as a community.
Yeah, in a way, I mean, because it's like, and I mean, I don't get me wrong, I get people that want to use it as long as possible, and they want to be on there, and we tried in terms of like, well, we had a backup channel that was shut down immediately. We had some other people, listeners, audiences, and they were uploading stuff, and they got their channels shut down. Last thing I heard is someone re-uploaded a show, and they got a strike on their channel for doing that. So they're kind of giving us the Alex Jones treatment. They basically they don't want us in any capacity on the platform, and they're trying to punish those who do it. So it's like, in terms of setting up something secondary, that's just that, no, that's not going to happen. That's over. That's gone. But anyway, so, you know what? I really don't care. It's dead. And those who want to cling on to it as long as they can, I totally get it. It's more audiences there. But in terms of like politically interesting conversations, they are not had essentially anymore on YouTube. It's all coding and wording, and you have to like tread in them on a. It's like a minefield, essentially. So I think again, be it BitChute, be it Library, be it DLive, wherever, or something else, some other service that will show itself which one that is, which platform that turns out to be. But that's where the interesting stuff is going to take place. And as I said, maybe it's better to move over there so that we can continue to address the reality of the situation, as opposed to just kind of try to tread around on YouTube and try to just remain for the sake of remaining. You know what I mean? It's kind of a little, it's not a good position to be in.
Yeah, I think you've always got to weigh up, well, what is it that we're actually getting by remaining on YouTube? I mean, I think for now it's still the easiest place to get views, subscribers and so on. I mean, it's still far more popular than BitChute in that way. But in every other way, it's a poison chalice, basically. And I think a lot of improvements need to be made to these other websites, but once those are done, I think there will be an exodus from BitChute, from YouTube, I think. And I'm really looking forward to it. The sooner the better.
Yeah, and as I said, at first you might think, well, it's only extremist content, or like it's only these... hey, Lorna, maybe you can take away the loud drop here. Sorry, guys. Maybe you can take that out of the other room. He got a super loud toy here. So I just want to bring that in here. Sorry. Anyway, if people might first think it's only right-wing, like, extreme content, it's only, like, these out-of-bounds political ideologies that's going to be discussed on BitChute or whatever. But as we see, that's not true. Anything that they don't like, including now bushcraft videos that get restricted just because they show someone is out catching a fish and they're gutting the fish and the vegans are angry at that and they flag the video. You know, there's so many other topics. It's like, you know, true crime, because that somehow shows harassment, or people have been talking about even like exposing pedophiles, and that's harassment now and stuff. It's bridging out into all these different fields, which is like, in my opinion, well, good, because that just means YouTube is shooting itself harder in the foot and it's bleeding out quicker than it would if it just was somehow, dissident right-wing content. But it's like mainstream stuff, and there's so many. And I read in that bushcraft video guy I mentioned earlier, Joe Robin App, I read in the comments there, and like all of them know, they know what's going on, whether they're aware politically or not. They utterly hate YouTube because of what they're doing to their creators. So in my mind, it's like, good, because we don't want to be in the hands of this demon, demon company, which is hostile to our interests politically.
Absolutely. I think it's weird also how it is not just political channels or far-right channels or nationalist channels. It's all sorts of things. It's they're just destroying the thing that they were. What their platform was, and it's really, I think that what's her name, Susan Wojcicki or whatever her name is, she will probably be remembered as the woman who destroyed YouTube, although that might well be naive, because I think it was the entire corporate structure. I mean, all of these people clearly want to go in a certain direction, and it's happening.
It's happening. And again, it's like, she seems to be this mommy figure. I heard a story earlier. I don't know if you saw the 60 Minutes interview that she did. And it's like, I think the Google boys rented her garage space in the early days.
Wow.
She got an in with Google. And then, of course, one of the brothers married her sister. And she's the one who set up 23andMe. So they're like, harvesting genetic data. They have all these algorithms now. It's a little nepotism family affair, essentially.
My God, that is scary.
Here. Can you even see that? I mean, look at this. Look at this. Look at this woman here, huh? Isn't she beautiful? Yeah. isn't she a lovely woman, guys?
Yeah, we're all very grateful to her. So, you wanted to talk also about the decade and predictions for the next decade. So, go ahead.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, so much has changed in 2010 to 2020. 2010, Obama was still in first term, right? He was elected, was it 2008 he was elected the first
time?
I think
so, yeah, I think so.
Then he got reelected in 2012. I think he was, initially, Obama was even against gay marriage, at least the first term, maybe second.
Yes.
The first term he was, and look at how quickly, like, the whole transgender thing has come, you know, penetrated, for the lack of a better term, the whole goddamn popular culture. What is it else? It's like, of course, as you said, the gay marriage stuff, the transsexual things, the drag queen story hour, like, all these things have just exploded for being, like, literally in the back room of culture, literally in the closet kind of thing, to just, like, becoming mainstream promoted cultural values, essentially. And that's too fast. It didn't even go that fast, like, in the 60s and the hippie wave and all that stuff. It took a while for that to really kind of fester and take root in a way. This has just been absurdly quick that this has gone through and gotten you know, airplay or whatever you want to call it in popular culture. So I think it's going to backfire. I do think that in the next 10 years, there's going to be a massive cultural revolt against this, because I think the progressives are only going to continue to push. They don't know when to stop. They don't know how to stop. It's not the point of it. It's just to endless progression is the only, you know, path that they have. And I think that they're going to push too hard and too fast, and eventually we're going to see a massive revolt. Now, how that will play out, I don't know. That's anybody's guess. There's some other weird things happening in America, for example, like in Virginia, the state of Virginia, where they're talking about taking people's weapons. And for the first time, the state, the local government have flipped from red to blue, from Republican to Democrat. I think the Democrats are going to be sworn in the new year, in 2020, and already they're passing laws where they're saying that they want to mandatory people need to give up their weapons, and they want to ban, like, martial arts practice and stuff like that. They want to ban people to defend themselves, essentially, right? And so it's flipped from red to blue, essentially with the aid of mass migration, right? Especially Northern Virginia has been, like, it's an occupied territory, essentially. And then they're pushing for this immediately, like, so fast, these Democrats, when they come in. And so, you know, I think any one of these scenarios could cause a major flip when people realize what's really happening. And I think even as how... you know, this whole thing with, like, the Groyper Wars and all that kind of stuff, right? That's been a very interesting, just a trend to watch, because it shows in what direction the conversation is going. This whole thing with, like, is, you know, exposing Israel and why is not Americans putting America first and all that kind of stuff. I think that those conversations are going to explode into the mainstream. I mean, to a certain extent it has. But they're trying to hold that out right now and keep it away from going into the mainstream. But that's where I think it's going to go. So, you know, again, any guess of how this develops or what things trigger first. But I just don't think, I don't know what your take is on that was, but I just don't think we can have 10 more years of the same pressure from the cultural establishment and the cultural Marxists without having a major backlash. You know, Trump was a backlash, but obviously that hasn't kind of panned out. It hasn't manifested to be the pushback that it was. So there's still room, I think, for major dissents in the next 10 years, you know?
Oh, I think that's definite. I was saying this with several of my previous guests, especially Survive the Jive and Zurius and Frody and Unwashed. I think that there is going to be cultural renewal motivated by resentment against the progressive paradigm, because it's so pervasive and so unnatural and demands so much of people. It's so doctrinaire that I think people just hate it. Most ordinary people are disgusted by all of this.
Yeah. No, they don't want it, I think. I mean, again, it's when people see where this really is going with... you know, again, promotion of, you know, sexuality among young people and the sexual education among minors, the whole drag queen story hour and stuff. I think there's far more people that don't like it that stay quiet versus those who do like it and are loud about it and are, like, you know, vocal about it, essentially vocal about the support. And I think once that, you know, once the the cup flows over, I think you're going to see massive discontent, and the majority of people don't want this. You know, as long as people stay quiet, people that, you know, they think, well, maybe this is what the majority wants. Maybe they're okay with all of this. We'll just stay quiet. We'll stay out of the limelight. We're not going to be open or vocal about this stuff. But when they push too far, then I think you're going to see a true revolt. And not only in America, I think you're going to see that in Europe and stuff. I mean, I just saw yesterday? I think there was a new poll out in Sweden. Sweden Democrats are polling at about 30% right now. It's the largest party. I mean, all that, there's been such a massive, just, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I mean, just ruthless attack on the Swedish people in the last 2 years alone. And even these videos that are coming out now where youngsters are literally being rounded up by an immigrant gang, and I don't want to get too graphic, but this is the reality of the situation. They're urinating on a kid, for example, or in other cases, they entrap them in some kind of situation, and they film them licking their shoes. You have to lick our shoes, or they put weapons in their mouths, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, people see this stuff. It goes around on Twitter and Facebook and other channels, and people, you know, they see what's happening, and that they're starting to be fed up with this. I think 2020 to 2030 is going to be the decade of true revolt. And I don't mean that in terms of like violence or anything like that. I'm talking about true opposition, where people are getting outspoken about their resentment against this. The opposition to it, the dissenting opinions are going to become mainstream, and they're going to manifest themselves, and they're going to be new groups popping up, maybe even new political parties that's going to, you know, suck up that discontent and start acting on it and move us in the right direction. So I'm actually positive, although I know at the same time that, you know, these people in charge, they're not going to step off from the gas pedal. They're just going to, you know, press as hard as they can to go as fast and as far as they can to destroy as much as possible, because that's what I think the agenda is. It's not to build some utopian world with, like, you know, where everyone gets along. This is just a wrecking ball, essentially. It's just destruction of traditional European culture. That's what this is about, and they're largely succeeding in that. But last thing I'll say about it is, we can, all of those things we can rebuild, you know, as long as we don't lose our genetic legacy, our heritage, genetically speaking, we can rebuild anything, including countries, economies, businesses, anything, infrastructure. All of that is, we've done that, you know, hundreds of times before in different countries, different crises and stuff like that. So that's not a problem. If this thing have to be run into the ground for us to rise up and oppose it, then so be it. That's the path we'll go. You know, but I'm hopeful overall. Actually, I'm very hopeful.
Yes, I agree. So am I. Although I do think it's going to be unpleasant. I think the next 10 years are going to be unfucking pleasant. But I think it's going to be. I think we will be in a better situation 10 years from now than we are just now. At least in some ways. At least in some important ways.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I think the pushback when the system, the establishment, the people in charge, the people are seeing that they're losing control. When they're noticing that when they are losing control, they will begin to lash out in even more irrational, absurd, and like way overreach in terms of their power. And at the same time, ironically, which means, and again, I don't want this. I think this is the wrong path to go down. I wish we can avoid this. I think that, you know, we should have opted for a political solution sooner and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't seem to be the case, right? So we do the best we can. So again, it's not an endorsement of it, but I'm just saying, in terms of how things unfold, I think if they begin this overreach, there will be people that are, to a certain extent, you know, that become victims or sacrificed in this political battle that's going on right now. But at the same time, as they get, you know, sacrificed, you know, meaning their reputation is destroyed, or they're hung out in the media, they're demonized, they lose everything they have, you know, kind of what they do already. But as that begins to happen more and more, or they target certain people, the masses out there will see that they are, like, this is totally out of bounds. This is irrational. They're not deserving this that's happening to them. You know, they're already going for financial institutions, for people. They are trying to get them fired. They're doing all these things. But I think normal, regular people, when they find out about this and they learn the truth, they realize what these individuals whose lives have been destroyed, what they do really believe, or the fact that they aren't just normal, regular people. They've just sick and fed up. They've had enough. When people realize that on a mass scale, they're going to become martyrs of our time to a certain extent, and they're going to be symbols for an opposition against it. And people are going to begin to think, I think, on some level, that like if we don't push back against this, this could happen to any one of us. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's going to get nasty, but that's going to be a good thing, because it's going to expose the system and the establishment. That's what I think.
I agree. So I guess you wanted to keep it fairly quick and concise for this one. So
Lana's over and checking on Rurik. I'm taking care of him there. So yeah.
Okay. So I guess we'll go to the questions, and there are a few.
Sure.
Does Henrik agree with the generational change predictions that were laid out in the book The Fourth Turning by William Strauss? The four generations.
I'm actually not familiar with the concept. Have you read it?
I haven't read it, but I am vaguely familiar with the concept. It's the idea of the hero generation, the silent generation, and I can't remember the others. But it predicts that, and I talked about this in my first year on 2014, it predicts that the millennial generation are a hero generation, like the ones who fought World War II. And I couldn't see much sign of that at the time, and I'm afraid in the nearly 6 years that have elapsed, I still haven't seen much sign of it.
Okay, well, if that's an accurate kind of representation of it, then I guess... Well, it could be. There's still time. Don't get me wrong, right? There's still some time, but it doesn't seem like it. These things might be delayed. I believe in cyclical things. Obviously, it's like that seems very reasonable and logical. But sometimes it's delayed. It's not always on clockwork, you know, because of different things that happens, different variables. It gets delayed a generation or two, or something is off or whatever. But the general idea, I think, is true. But it might not be the might not be the hands of the millennials. Might be the Zoomers. That's going to save us all. Huh? We'll see.
Well, that would be more. I could find that more plausible. Okay. So the next question. Right. Okay. Is the cat blocking you from going into the studio?
The cat?
Yeah, I don't know what that's if that's a reference to something else. Okay, red ice.
They go into the studio sometimes, though. But yeah, right. Otherwise it's good. Yeah.
Okay. Red ice and millennial woes. The people most responsible for me no longer considering myself on the left. Eternal gratitude and Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.
Okay. Much love to Henrik and Lana. They're a beautiful family. Can Henrik confirm or deny the rumor that he and the UFC's Dan Hardy were separated at birth? Merry Christmas and... thank you. Yeah.
Who's that? Is someone in the I don't watch that stuff. Someone in the UFC, do you know who that is?
I have no idea. I don't know what that... I don't even know what that's a reference to, what UFC means.
What was the name?
Dan Hardy.
All right, I'll look it up later.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't look like this, I'm happy.
Okay. All right. Okay, I think that's all the super chats. So, okay, let's leave it at that. Thank you very much for appearing. It was nice to have all three of you on again.
Yeah, so, Lorna, do you want to say bye? Yeah, she'll come and she'll say bye.
Okay.
It was great talking to you again, Will. Sorry to keep it a bit short. We've had food coma here. We just celebrated, Christmas Eve is kind of when the Swedes do it instead of Christmas Day. You know, so we've had a big meal and all that kind of good stuff. So, yeah, say bye, Lana.
Bye, everyone. Sorry, I got caught up. Vicky's wanting to bring over the really loud dump truck, so I'm trying to come over.
Do you want to say bye, Rurik? You want to say bye?
Yeah, we're incredibly full. We had the huge, Swedes. They eat a lot on Christmas Eve. It's like the big feast. Bye. Except I don't do the herring though. I just See have ya. Not gotten into the herring.
Yeah, she's a heretic.
And then we got done eating, and then a neighbor brought over a plate full of cookies. A very little neighbor that brought over a plate full of cookies on top of it. And fudge and everything.
Yeah. Bye bye. Say bye.
All right.
Say bye.
Bye. Go you. Merry Christmas, everybody.
And, whoa, you know we're going to have another baby too, right? We told you that?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome. Another boy on the way, so that's big.
That's great news. That's great news. Okay then. Well, let's leave it at that then. So this is okay. It's Christmas Day now in Britain, at least in Western Europe. So Merry Christmas, everyone. And I will see you tomorrow on my live MW live channel for an AMA, I think at about 8 p.m. So that will be nice. And in the meantime, this was Red Ice. So thank you, Henrik and Lana. Thank you, Red Ice, for appearing. And thank you to everyone for sticking with me. I'll see you all later.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Good evening.